I would like to say welcome to everyone on this last day of the feast, the last great day. When we think about this time in God's plan, I know that we don't fully grasp what this last great day entails because it has not occurred yet. But God does give you and I a glimpse through His Word, this book, the Bible. We can only imagine what this world will look like after a 1,000-year reign of God's government upon this earth. God tells us about a unique time in His plan. God tells us that this earth will become beautiful once again, probably much like the Garden of Eden. God tells us that the plowman will overtake the reaper. And you and I cannot comprehend a time such as this, when there will be such an abundance of food upon this earth. And it will put different requirements upon mankind when certain issues are not here. God tells us that there will be an abundance of food. And Isaiah tells us many, many times about what this earth will look like. And he gives some pretty descriptive scriptures about what will take place, what alludes to an Eden-like existence upon this earth. And that will start to take place in just a little while when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and the millennium starts. And it will begin this process of beautifying this earth. We don't focus much on this time period because you and I are focused on the millennium and the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up His kingdom, God's kingdom upon this earth. So we don't really focus much on this time period, which is the most important time period in God's plan. It's a most unique time because God will create circumstances upon this earth for a 100-year period of time for mankind to live once again. And you and I know that God will prepare a world where billions will be resurrected to life once again. And that is part of what this day pictures, the last great day. We can only imagine the world that will be created under the rule of Jesus Christ upon this earth during the millennium, the 1,000-year reign. And it will produce a world where God's way of life has been taught for 1,000 years. And we can only imagine just what that in itself will do to the beautification of this earth. And also what it will do to the way that man once again begins to live. The correct way that will be taught when Jesus Christ is here to point the way to God's way of life. The way of life that produces peace. And you and I cannot comprehend such a world. But God does give us a glimpse. So today we will take a look at what this day pictures, the last great day. And this will be the title, the last great day. Like I said, God does give us a glimpse. And He does say it is like looking through a dark colored glass. In other words, God tells us that we can only see at this time and imagine in our minds what it will be like by what God has revealed to us, His church. God's church has come to a greater understanding of what the 100-year period is going to be like. And it tells us of a time when the nature of the animals will be changed. It tells us of a time when children can play with what was once hostile and dangerous animals upon this earth. our God is going to guarantee a specific time for this to take place, a time when life will be guaranteed. There's never been such a time upon this earth, not even during the millennium, but God sets aside a specific time in His plan for man to live once again. And we will take a look at what this day pictures. And this is part of the picture. Jesus Christ made a statement in Luke 23 in verse 43, if you want to be turning there. And it's when He was hanging on the stake. The Protestant world has so distorted this verse and its meaning. They have no idea what our Savior was even saying to the thief. And they don't understand what Jesus Christ was saying. As this man knew he was about to die. Jesus Christ told this thief, and I am sure he did not fully understand, but he will when he comes back to life once again. What Jesus Christ was describing to him and what he called it paradise. And it's the word that is translated in our Bibles as paradise. And in Luke 23 and verse 43, we find what Jesus Christ said to the thief. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." In the original language that this was written, there were no commas. But man in his attempt and with his biases has placed a line, a comma in this line. But it's not in the correct place if you are to use the comma. The correct place for the comma is after the word today, and it should read, "Assuredly I say to you today," and that is where the comma should be placed, "you will be with me in paradise." It puts a whole different meaning to what Jesus Christ was saying. And the Protestant world and the rest have greatly distorted what Jesus was telling this man that knew he was about to die. But Jesus was telling this man about a different time. And He was telling him about a specific time in God's plan, which is the last great day. And He referred to it as paradise. And when you and I look at what Jesus was telling the thief, you and I can understand why He used the word paradise. Because we can imagine what this earth will look like after a 1,000-year reign upon this earth, when there will be just one government upon this earth, God's government. And when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and this earth will begin to become like the Garden of Eden once again. So you and I can understand why Jesus used this word paradise. Can you just imagine what those that come up in the great white throne to a resurrection back to life? Can you imagine what it will be like for them when they look around at this earth and see the results of what God's plan has done to this earth? Then we can begin to comprehend why Jesus used this word, paradise. The best that I can tell how this word is used is it specifically points to an Eden-like condition, or a garden or a park. And it's also translated as a place of future happiness. And it's called paradise. A place of future happiness. And I think that this is a very fitting interpretation of the word that Jesus Christ used, because it does point to a place of future happiness, a 100-year period of time when God will give guaranteed life, when nothing will be destroyed, a time when this earth has become a beautiful place once again. So you and I can understand why Jesus used this word, paradise. Let's turn over to Revelation 2 in verse 7, and let's see how God's word used this word again. Revelation 2 in verse 7 we find, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes." Let's notice what is being said. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God," a place of future happiness. How better could it be said, brethren, about this period of time? When those that will be resurrected back to life, to live again into what will look like a paradise of God. God is creating through His plan a paradise, and only He can create it. And it is what this last great day is about, the finishing touches of God's plan for mankind. And it will create a place of future happiness. There are some events that will have to take place at the end of the 1,000 years. And that is what we will do today. We will look at these events that have to take place as our God is finishing His plan for mankind and building a place of future happiness, which Jesus Christ referred to as paradise. Let's turn over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 1. And we will pick up what God is saying. "I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished." We can see how God uses a period of time that is called the millennium, when this being Satan will be restrained from influencing mankind. We see a period of time that God uses to move His plan forward, to bring about a place of future happiness. And it will be without this being, as we will see. Can we comprehend just a little of what this world will be like without this being? Can we see the kind of world that will be brought about with Jesus Christ ruling this world? Can we imagine the peace, the unity of mind, and the beauty that will abound upon this earth without the destruction, without the war, the wars, the conflicts? Can we see how peace will begin to abound during this 1,000 years? And what just confining Satan will create just in itself? One church, one religion, one government upon this earth. No more deception. Can we see what this creates and how God will use the millennium to forward His plan for mankind? And it says that this being Satan will not be able to do these things for 1,000 years. And then God says, Revelation 20, in the last part of verse 3, we find. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Talking about Satan. And we can see he will be let loose one last time. Verse 4. We see that the saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and we see what takes place being explained. And it says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. The word simply means cut off. Those who have been cut off for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark in their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Can we see what God is producing? Can we see the peace, the prosperity upon this earth, and what it will look like when these conditions begin to take place? And you and I can only imagine what has been created by the end of the 1,000 years. And in verse 5, we find God explaining more of his plan and what is to take place. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. When we look at these scriptures and what it means, the rest of the dead, brethren, it's everyone that has ever lived who will be resurrected. All the way back in time, before Moses, before Noah, before David. And it means all that have lived, the rest of the dead. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. Let's drop down to verse 7. I think God will reveal more and more about this during the millennium. I know how we were told many, many times that there would be a falling away in God's church. But we cannot understand or comprehend such a thing happening at that time. We can only look back and see that it was just as God said it would be. There would be a falling away, an apostasy. And God told us about it. We knew it. And this is what God said would happen, and it did. Not the way that we thought it would happen, but it happened just the way that God said it would happen. Verse 7, God tells us, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. Notice what's being said. Will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Sometimes we just read through what is being said. But this is massive, brethren. God says whose number is as the sand of the sea. It's a lot. And just as the apostasy took place, we couldn't comprehend the apostasy. And neither can we comprehend this. But God says it will take place. And he says when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released. Just as the falling away happened, God says this will happen, and it is in our future. It's hard to comprehend how is what has been created during 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon this earth. But God says it will happen. Verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. A lot of people died this time. Just before Jesus Christ's voice will go out, and all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Brethren, those of us who live through the apostasy are the only ones that can probably understand any of this at this time. We were told many, many times about a falling away and an apostasy that would take place in the church of God. God is telling us here of a massive event that will take place, and it is massive. We cannot comprehend such a thing at this time, just as we could not comprehend the apostasy. But God says it will happen. There will be a lot of people deceived by a spirit being at the end of the 1,000 years. And when they are resurrected back to physical life, they will have opportunity to learn from what took place and repent. And we can see God's plan for mankind, even to the very end, brethren. And we can see that God deals with this rebellion swiftly because of what they are about to do. God will not allow war anymore. And he does not allow any destruction. And he destroys them for what they want to do, what is in their mind. And that is, they are the ones that want to destroy. Can we picture a time when Satan will not be allowed to influence or cause harm to mankind? Can we see that God is doing, as Jesus Christ said to the thief, that God is moving his plan forward to produce a place of future happiness, which Jesus described as paradise, a place of future happiness? And this paradise that Jesus was talking about is not possible until Satan and the demons have been dealt with. And we can see that God deals swiftly at this time and does not allow Satan to destroy anymore. And we know his fate and how he is to be dealt with. There have been many sermons given on this. And we understand and know what his fate is and that he will be dealt with and destroyed. We can see that God destroys the rebellion, and then we find a great resurrection. Revelation 20 and verse 11, we find. And in this Bible, it's in bold, and it says the great white throne judgment. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And let's notice verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. At the end of 1,000 years, there is a resurrection of any that have lived and died. The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished, as we read earlier. And that is what this is about, the rest of the dead. And it is called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's what God calls it. Let's pause at this point and let's turn over to Ezekiel 37. And let's see the description that God gives us. And most of us that have been around for a while know these verses very well. And it's where God describes in a vision to Ezekiel about what will take place. And God tells Ezekiel about a resurrection back to life. And he explains to Ezekiel how it will take place. And God shows how he will resurrect those back to life that have lived before. Ezekiel 37 in verse 1. And in my Bible in bold it says, "The dry bones live." Ezekiel 37 in verse 1. "The hand of the Eternal came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Eternal." It's talking about a vision God gave to Ezekiel. "And he set him down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley. And indeed, they were dry." Talking about the bones, and they were dry. Showing Ezekiel that they had been dead a long time. "And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know,' was Ezekiel's answer. And again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will put sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Eternal.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Eternal when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it and performed it, says the Eternal.'" Can we see and imagine what this will be like? To come back to life and look around and see what God has created. Can you imagine coming back to life and in what God says the great white throne? And see what it will look like after a 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Can we imagine the beauty that will have been created upon this earth? Can we begin to comprehend what will take place? When all the rest of mankind will be resurrected back to life, can we begin to comprehend how massive this will be? When those down through time, regardless of the time that they have lived in, will once again be brought back to life. Those that lived before the flood, those that lived in the time of Moses, And on it goes until we get to this time when God says that you and I will know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it and performed it. Let's go back to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 12. Can we comprehend coming back to life and really understanding who the God of this earth, the God of this universe is, and who Jesus Christ is? To fully understand about Satan and what he has done to God's creation, his spiritual creation. Can we comprehend such a time to fully know you have been brought back to life once again? And when you stand before this great white throne and you are told you have another time to live, a second life upon this earth, and a chance to do it correctly, can you imagine the impact that that will have, brethren? Revelation 20 and verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Can you imagine standing before Jesus Christ and the great God of this universe? I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. It's talking about books being opened. So what does it mean? When we were called, what books were opened to us? It's talking about opening the mind to what is written in this book, God's Word, the Bible. And they can understand this book and what is written in it now. And it is the great God of this universe that has to do this. And he does it by opening the mind, just like he did yours. Can we comprehend to live in a world and live a second time? But this time in the truth, in the church of God. And to be able to comprehend and understand the plan of God and what he is doing with mankind and what he is offering to them with a second life. It's a beautiful thing when you understand the truth. And it's a beautiful thing when you come to understand the correct way to live, God's way. And that is by how God says we should live, by his commandments and his laws. Let's read verse 12 again. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. Let's notice what is being said. According to their works. Let's notice. By the things which were written in the books. According to their works. It's a beautiful thing when you understand what is being said. When you live the way that God says to live, works will follow. It's just given, brethren. The Sabbath, the holy days, the commandments that tell us how to live with one another and with God. And on it goes. And it tells us how. By the things which were written in the books. Last part of verse 12. We turn into Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. God tells us of a time when mankind will have a guarantee of life after 7,000 years upon this earth. God tells us of a unique time in his plan. And let's look at this account in Isaiah. Isaiah 65. And we will start in verse 17. In this Bible, in bold, it says the glorious creation. And we will focus on this creation, the glorious creation. Verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. I hope we can comprehend some of what is being said and how that God is creating what he calls new heavens and a new earth. I hope we can just glimpse a little of what is being said. God created this earth and a lot of physical things. But I hope we can just understand a little of his spiritual creation and how he is bringing his plan to fruition. When we think of creation, most will think about the physical creation. But that was here when man was put upon this earth. It was already here. What God is creating is his spiritual creation, which is a beautiful picture when you start to understand how God is doing it. God is doing it by impregnating the mind of those that he has called. And God begins his creation and gives understanding, and can one day put that mind into a body that can live for an eternity. One that will be in agreement and oneness with him. God is creating a spiritual creation, and I hope we understand. God is creating his family, spirit beings to live for an eternity. And it should bring you to your knees when you understand what you have been offered. Verse 17, the last part. And the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold. Let's notice. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Let's notice what's being said. Verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping will no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Brethren, there comes a time that God says we will not remember the former things. A time when we will be able to forget the evils that took place in the past. There have been many down through time that have lived horrible lives. There are some living now in this flesh, horrible lives. There are many atrocities being committed at this time. But God tells us that there will come a time when we can put all the horrors of the past behind us. God is creating the city of peace, Jerusalem. That's what it means. And he's moving his plan forward to accomplish his creation, his spiritual creation. And he tells us of a wonderful time upon this earth. And in Isaiah 65 and verse 18, God tells us, be glad and rejoice forever in which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. When there is no more war, when there is no more fighting, when there is no more jealousy, when there is no more envying, can we see that it creates peace? God tells us that there will come a time when we will not hear the voice of crying, So all of these things will have to be taken care of. Can we imagine such a time? Do we see and understand what God is offering? Can we see and understand what God is doing? Can we begin to see what the great God of this universe is creating? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. When we begin to understand what God is creating, it is exciting to see His plan being fulfilled. God is creating peace upon this earth. He's creating the city of peace, Jerusalem. Let's look and see further explanation of how God is moving His plan forward. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Talking about the dead. "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ," let's notice what's being said, "all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits." He was the first to be resurrected and enter the God family. Afterward, those who are at Christ, who are Christ at His coming. Talking about the 144,000. Let's notice verse 24 and what is being said. "Then comes the end, when He, Jesus Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father." He's taken us forward in time. It tells us about a time when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. "For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet." Verse 26 tells us that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Verse 27. "For He has put all things under His feet," but when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He put all things under Him is accepted. "Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." And we understand this in God's church. We understand that it's God the Father and then Jesus Christ. We understand the order. And we understand how God's plan is taking place. And it's the 144,000 next. And then it brings us to this point in time, the last great day. God lets us see the fruition of His plan when it is all said and done. So we know the end of the story. But let's go back and pick up the story in John. Let's turn to John 5. John 5, and we'll start in verse 25. John 5 and verse 25. God tells us of a time in this book when a resurrection will take place and how His plan will now move forward to handle the masses that are to be resurrected. Verse 25. "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Just what we read in Revelation 20. A resurrection when the dead will hear and live again. It's just like what God allowed Ezekiel to see. A time when the dead will live again. And God lets us see through this book what He has revealed to Ezekiel and how it will be done. And we can see that God will resurrect man back into physical life once again. And it is a specific time in God's plan. Verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. It's talking about a time of judgment. It's talking about the great white throne judgment that we read about in Revelation 20. God tells us, verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Just notice what is being said. Sometimes we can just read through. And come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life. I hope you understand what you have been offered, brother. Regardless of when your resurrection takes place, I hope you understand. What has been said here helps us understand what God's purpose is during the great white throne. It's talking about those that have lived before and have done good. It's the way it's explained. Talking about those that have learned to live God's way of life and those that have overcome. And God says that there will be some at this time that will be resurrected to life. It's talking about being given spiritual life, eternal life. Become spirit. And now there is a need for help for all those that will be resurrected, as the last part of 28 tells us. Additional help will be given at this time. And there will be some resurrected into a spiritual body to join those of the 144,000 at this time. Verse 28, let's notice the rest of this verse. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Condemnation is what this Bible says, but the RSV version says it correctly. And it says judgment. And that's what it's talking about, judgment. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. The great white throne period is much different than the millennium. It's a time when most of mankind will live twice. Should bring you to your knees when you understand what God has offered you at this time. Can you begin to understand what a blessing it will be to have eternal life during the 100-year period at the end of this age after the millennium? Can you imagine? God tells us that there has never been such a time like this 100-year period of time upon this earth. And it would be an awesome blessing to live in a spirit body at this time upon this earth. Let's go back to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65 in verse 20. God gives us a glimpse about this time, the 100-year period, the time when the resurrection takes place. Some to become spirit beings. Some to live a second life, a second time to live life. God tells us more of His plan and how He will bring it to fruition. There are some awesome changes that will take place at this time that God tells us about. Our minds cannot conceive of such a time. As we have never experienced a time like this upon this earth. Never been a time like this. And your eyes will get to see this either way. Whether you are a spirit being or you have been resurrected back to physical life. And it is exciting either way. Verse 20, Isaiah 65 and verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child will die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. During this time, babies will be resurrected that have died, that will have opportunity to live again. Up to 100 years, God says, God gives this time for judgment. And that's why it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's what it's about. And those that are resurrected back to physical life, they will have time to grow, to make choices, regardless of their age, to choose baptism just like you and me, only in a much better environment, where truth is taught, where God's government is here upon this earth, and Satan is not here to deceive. And God tells us that a child will not die until they have reached 100 years. And it should excite you beyond your wildest expectations just to understand these words about God's plan. Verse 21, and they will build houses and inhabit them, and they will plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And let's notice what is being said. Mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. It will be very exciting to see this period of time, brethren. And it will be very exciting and a very enjoyable time for God's elect. We sometimes just think of how exciting the millennium will be. But it does not hold a light to this time in God's plan, brother. It's not even comparable when you think about it. When the masses, and it's massive. And I hope we understand what and how it will take place. Verse 23 tells us, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Eternal, and their offspring with them. It pictures a beautiful, beautiful time, brethren, that could be called paradise. Verse 25, let's just drop down. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the bullock. And dust will be the serpent's meat. Let's notice what is being said. God guarantees a specific time in His plan. And He says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Eternal. This does not happen during the millennium. This is talking about during the 100-year period. A time of judgment for those that will live a second time upon this earth. A time when the animal's nature will change. And a time like this has never been before upon this earth. It's never happened. Can we imagine the beauty without destruction that will have been created before and during this time? Can we see it? Can we see the plan of God and what He has in store for those that will be there? Let's look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 and verse 1. I think this has been read at every Feast of Tabernacles that I have ever attended. But God has given us more understanding about the great white throne in the 100-year period of time that takes place. In Isaiah 11 in verse 1 we find, there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the eternal. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the eternal. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. God's laws and God's commandments will be taught. And that is how it will be done, and that is why it says it this way. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. By what will be taught, brethren? The truth, God's way, the correct way to live. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. If any time in God's plan that could be described as paradise, this is probably that time while physical human beings are alive. This is the time that Jesus said to the thief that he would be with him in paradise, a place of future happiness. And that is a wonderful way to have explained it to someone that was about to die a horrible death. This would certainly picture a place of future happiness that could be described as paradise. Let's look at the conditions that will take place. God tells us more. Isaiah 11 and verse 6 tells us, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Certainly looks like paradise when this takes place. We can only imagine a time like this that God tells us about. Most children cannot comprehend a time like this because they have always had to worry about being harmed by some animals, the dangerous ones. But God tells us of a time that he will not allow harm to come. God tells us of a time that he will change the nature of the animals. And you and I can only imagine what this time will be like by what God tells us through his book. Verse 7, God tells us that the care and the bear shall feed. Animals that are predators and hostile will feed together. God tells us that their young ones will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. We can see that the eating habits are changed. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. It's talking about the dangers and how they will, the dangerous ones and how they will be changed, and how it will be safe and not harmed. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den. As we can see, they can play with poisonous, that were once poisonous snakes. And let's notice what's being said, brethren. God has had a plan down through time, and he's shown us a glimpse of how it will be done. Just a glimpse. And he says that they will not hurt or destroy at this time, this specific time in God's plan. Verse 9, they will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And let's notice, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the eternal as the waters cover the sea. Paradise. The only way you could explain it, brethren, when the earth is full of the knowledge of the eternal God of this universe. And let's notice what is being said in verse 10. And in that day, it's talking about the last great day. In that day. It's talking about a resurrection when a second life will be possible. And man will be able to live a life when God's government is here upon this earth. A time when Jesus Christ has been ruling this earth for 1,000 years. God says it will be a glorious time. One that Jesus Christ described as paradise to the thief. We know that utopia, complete utopia, is not possible in this flesh. But this gets very close, brethren. God tells us that there will be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. And to it the Gentiles will seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It's the way that God describes it. And it will come to pass in that day that the Eternal shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people. This is not talking about the millennium. This is a second time to recover the rest. The rest of the dead that live not until the 1,000 years were finished that we read about earlier, brethren. It's the rest of mankind, as the rest of verse 11 tells us, which will be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the seas. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, as shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. It's talking about the last great day, brethren, when all this will be done. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, if you just want to note it, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read what it says. God told us through the prophet Isaiah many years ago, and he said, from the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear. Neither has the eye seen, O God, beside you, what he, talking about God, has prepared for them that wait for him. God also tells us, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And I think this is a very true statement, brethren, when we understand what God is creating. Let's turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 26. We understand what God allows us to understand. We can't yet grasp the vastness of what God has created, the physical creation, just the universe. And we can only imagine, after God's spiritual creation is complete, what he has in store for this universe. Isaiah 40 and 26, God tells us, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. And it's a good way that God tells us to do it, because we are physical and we can see the physical creation that is so massive that our minds cannot comprehend it. And so it gives us an idea of how massive and how great the God of this universe really is. And it gives us understanding that it is beyond our comprehension. And that's why God says to lift up our eyes on high and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number. He even knows how many they are, brethren. And he even has names for every one of them. And he calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. And we look at the pictures that the Hubble telescope sends us. We cannot imagine what God has in store for His spiritual creation. Just the vastness and the beauty of what God has already created. And He does have a plan for this universe, brother. But you and I cannot begin to comprehend it. But God does have a purpose in mind that we will find out about later. Verse 28. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the eternal, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. And there is no searching of his understanding. And there's not. We can only marvel at what God reveals to us, his people. And you and I understand this, that there is no searching of his understanding. It is so far above ours. But they that wait upon the eternal shall renew their strength. Let's notice God, what God is offering to you. But they that wait upon the eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You and I cannot understand all of these words, but we do know that in the final creation of man, all that lived God's way and that accept Him and become atoned to Him will be a spirit being. And we understand that they will not be weary in a spiritual body. David asked many years ago, as he was looking up at what God had created, at just what he could see with his physical eyes, as he lay out in the fields as a shepherd, and looked up into the heavens, and he saw the stars that God had created. And he understood that it was massive, and he asked this question, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And God has given us a glimpse of just what he has in store for mankind, just a glimpse. He says it's like looking through a dark glass, but he does give us a glimpse, as we will continue to see. Now at this time, the last great day, a time of the great resurrection, a time when people will be brought back to life again in the flesh. They will be able to look around and see the results of God's Spirit being upon this earth. And they will see a system that has been set up upon this earth. They will see God's government that has been enforced for 1,000 years. And they will see a very different world. Jesus Christ and the 144,000 have been ruling this world as kings and priests. And it has produced a different world. Jesus Christ has returned as a lion and restored God's government. He came the first time as the Passover lamb, but he has now established the laws of God upon this earth, and they have been in place for 1,000 years. The creation has barely started, brethren. You and I have had a front row seat at the end of an age. To begin to see the age of man's rule coming to an end and see the kingdom of God set up upon this earth. Some sitting in this room will see this. Some listening will see this. They will see the beginning stages, and they will see what we have been picturing at this Feast of Tabernacles. They will see Jesus Christ begin his rule upon this earth that will usher in this last great day and make it possible for the great resurrection to take place. It's a lot of work that has to be done during this 1,000 years to prepare this earth for this resurrection that will take place. This day pictures a time when the great resurrection will take place. and it has taken 1,000 years to prepare this earth. And the millennium was a time of work for Jesus Christ and 144,000 and those that lived on into the millennium. But Jesus Christ and 144,000 have been ruling as kings and priests. And they have prepared this earth for the great white throne judgment. It's what the millennium is about, a time of preparation. Most of us have been touched in this life by some sort of tragedy where someone has lost their life. And most have experienced death of some sort and felt the sting of death. And that is another reason why this day is so important. It pictures a time when we will see those that we have loved brought back to life. And we will see them once again, and this day gives hope. God does not leave us without hope. He gives us understanding of His plan, and He has a plan to deal with death and take that sting away that most of us have felt and that all of us will eventually feel. Can we imagine how many have lived and died and never heard or had opportunity that we have had as God's people? Can we imagine? And what about those that have never heard of God's way of life? What about our relatives, our brothers, sisters, our friends that never grasped the plan of God, never heard of it? What about those that have lived horrific lives in captivity, in wars and conflicts, slaveries, under slavery, and under conditions that are too horrible to even mention? It has taken place upon this earth with man's rule. And those of us in the countries that allows our freedom, most of us don't even reflect on the severe conditions that some live in this present world. Most are too involved in their own lives, and that is where most are focused. When we look at the news, the atrocities that are taking place in Afghanistan, Syria, just to name a few, and there are many other places in this upon this earth that people live in squalor, in helplessness and in hopelessness, under dire conditions. And we remain helpless at this time, but God has a plan, and He tells us of a time when all of these horrors will be behind us. God has in His plan a just and merciful way of dealing with those that have lost their lives and who are dead. And that is what this great resurrection is about. It's about a merciful God who has made a way for all that have ever lived upon this earth to live a second life. God is a God of love. God is a God of justice. And it is through this resurrection that those who are resurrected will learn about Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now they will learn about God's master plan. God has in fairness planned for everyone who has ever lived to receive the very same opportunity for salvation that we were given. Brethren, the dead will live again. And it gives us hope because of those that we have loved so dearly. And it is a time when we will see them again. And it will be a joyous time upon this earth when we see those resurrected back to life once again. Some that will be resurrected have never known about Jesus Christ, but some will. Those that died prematurely and were not in the first resurrection. But there are many that have died and never heard the words that we were privileged to hear. Many of us have family members that have died, that have never known or heard of this way of life, never had that opportunity. Their minds were not opened But now is that time. And it's what this day is about. It's about the time when God will open the graves for all that have ever lived. And this earth will have been prepared for 1,000 years to accommodate this very event. Let's turn over to Matthew 12 and verse 36 and see what Jesus Christ told us. Matthew 12 and verse 36. And he said, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And this is that time, brethren, that Jesus Christ was talking about. And in Romans 14 and verse 11, I'll just read this. It tells us, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, says the Eternal, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. And this is that time. The church of God is under judgment now, but this is their time. The scriptures tell us that regardless of the time when one is judged, they will be judged by the books, the same as you and I. At this time of this resurrection, everyone's minds will be open to know who the God of this universe is and who Jesus Christ is. And they will be able to look around and see the results of God's laws being upon this earth. They will be able to see the wonderful society that has been created. And they will be given the ability to understand God's laws just like you and me. And all will be able to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what God the Father and Jesus Christ has made available to them. And all will be given enough time with God's Spirit upon this earth at this time. They will be given enough physical life and the ability to choose life instead of eternal death. They will be offered eternal life at this time. And it is a wonderful time upon this earth when understanding will be made available. Revelation 20 and verse 13 we find. Revelation 20 and verse 13. We find God telling us about this period of time. And it says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, which means the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. During this 100-year period, everyone will have the opportunity to choose and live God's way of life. It is this period of time that they will be given life again in physical bodies that will be in good health, whole and complete. And then they can choose to become a part of the God family. And this is part of the story of the last great day. We can see that they will have the ability to choose God's way of life. This last great day pictures the time in God's plan when the rest that choose God will be in the God family. Let's turn over to Revelation 21 and verse 6. Revelation 21 and verse 6. It's a wonderful time when we see those that we loved that have been part of this church also choosing God's way. Those that we walk side by side to God's house many, many times. Many years ago now. And they will have ability to choose the way of God. Unless the pardonable sin has been committed by some. But God tells us in Revelation 21 and verse 6, He said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is of thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And let's notice, "He that overcomes," let's notice what God's telling us, "shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But let's notice the rest, which is also a part of what this day pictures, the last great day. "But the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. This writer was inspired to write about this event at the end of an age. And it's about this day, the last great day. And it's about the new beginning. It's also about the end, the very end of God's plan for physical human beings. And Paul wrote, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. It's a time when all rebellion has been dealt with, brethren. All the rebellion that has ever taken place." Verse 25. "He must reign till he has put all enemies," he's talking about all of them, brethren, "under his feet." And let's notice, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. We just read about the second death, and that's it. It's gone, never to be resurrected again. No physical beings left. All is done. This day that is pictured, when Jesus Christ delivers the kingdom to God the Father, is a new beginning. And it is a wonderful time that we all have to look forward to. Verse 28. "Then when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." And we understand this, and we understand the time frame. Let's turn back over to Revelation 21 in verse 4. God tells us of a time in his plan when all the horrors of physical life is in the past. And God tells us that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Brethren, the plan of God has a new beginning, and our minds cannot comprehend it. Verse 5. "Then he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Can we grasp any of it? "And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and beautiful. And he said to me, It is done." The fruition of God's plan for 7,000 plus the 100 years, and it's done, brother. Verse 6. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This is a wonderful time that you and I long for this day. And this last great day pictures a great resurrection and how it brings about a new beginning for the people of God. We can see the ending of one age and the beginning of eternity for the people of God. This is the beginning for the people of God, and that gives us great hope for those that we have lost. Those loved ones, friends, families, brothers, sisters, we will see them again, and hopefully they will choose this way of life and be a part of this new beginning. Let's look at verse 8. It's a time of atonement for the people of God. And there's a lot of meaning for the Day of Atonement that applies to this day, this last great day. A time when the people of God will be fully atoned to their God. And it will be a new beginning for the church of God. At-one-ment. It's what atonement means. At-one-ment with the great God of this universe. Let's notice the last part, verse 8. But the cowardly, abominable, unbelieving, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those punished by the second death are those who refuse to obey their God. Those who refuse to repent will have their names taken out of the book of life. And their human existence will be terminated at this time. Never to live again. Never to be resurrected again. There will be no eternal pain for them. There will be no eternal torment, as some teach. It will be just as they have never existed, brethren. Revelation 20 and verse 14. Let's notice. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 21 and verse 4, we read it earlier, but let's go back. We see a wonderful time and a new beginning upon this earth for the people of God. God says that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God says there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And you and I, with our physical minds, have a hard time grasping these words. That's why we're reading it again. We've lived in these physical bodies, and we understand that there can be horrific sufferings. All of us know someone who has suffered mightily or is maybe suffering mightily now. I know some now. But this pictures a time when physical life as we know it will be done away. And it's a time when the grave and death will be no more. And there will be no more need for the grave. There will be no more need for death. It's a time of new beginnings for God's people. And for those loved ones that accept God's way, we will be able to share with them for an eternity. Our God is a merciful God, and He has made a way through all the tragedies of mankind to bring about a wonderful world where we can share with our loved ones an eternity of peace and bring about true fellowship with their God and with their fellow man. Let's go back and look at 1 Corinthians 15 once again. Most of us have been to a funeral and hear these words, and probably most of us know it by heart. But let's go back and see what God tells us. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? These words give us hope because of the tragedies that we have faced. Most all of us has felt this sting of death, and it hurts. It helps when you understand the plan of our God. God says He will take this sting away, the sting of death, and that we will never have to face this sting again. And He says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Talking about the grave. It's questions that were being asked, and it pictures a time when death will be done away with. Pictures a time when second death will be brought about for those that do not repent. And after this, all who will be alive will be those composed of spirit beings. It's about the spiritual creation of the great God of this universe, brethren. It's what it's all about. It's what this day represents when the people of God that are to become spirit, that are spirit, are fully atoned to the great God of this universe when they are at one with their God. And this is a new beginning for all those that are composed of spirit. Turn over to Matthew 3 in verse 10. And let's go back and look at what God tells us, because we're not there yet. We can only see what God tells us. But God told us back in Matthew 3 and verse 10. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. In other words, those who refuse to repent and accept the sacrifice that has been made and live God's way will be thrown into this fire. That's what it's saying. Verse 11. I indeed baptized you with water unto repentance. And this is John talking. But let's notice. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And let's notice what was said. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His watering fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. This pictures a time when this earth will be cleansed, and those who are left will be fully atoned to their God. And it's pictured here as cleaning out the threshing floor. And it's about this time that is pictured during this last great day. And God gives us a picture. And let's notice. And gather his wheat into the barn. It's talking about those that have repented and accepted this way of a life. And they will inherit eternal life. And let's notice the rest. But he will burn up the chaff. Let's notice. With unquenchable fire. And these words have so been distorted through time. A lot by the Protestant world, but not only them, but there are others, but mostly them. Matthew 13, just over a few pages in verse 36, let's notice. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest, let's notice, is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. It's the example that was given, and it's very simple, brethren. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness. It will be cleaned up, brethren. A final cleaning at the end of an age. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that should be you, brother, the Church of God, PKG at this time. There is an end to mankind as we know it, and there is a beginning for the people of God that our minds cannot comprehend. Let's turn over to Romans 8 and let's finish up. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And man in his physical body does a lot of sufferings. But these words tell us it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. And verse 19 tells us, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. And we do. We can't wait. But God says we have to wait with patience. But He gives us a glimpse of His creation. And He gives us a glimpse of what this last great day is about. And He tells us that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves. And we do. I wish we were there now. And I know you do too. But we're not. And we do groan within ourselves, wishing that we were there. And we do eagerly await for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Let's go back to Revelation 22 and verse 3. Revelation 22 and verse 3. And we'll be finishing up. There will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name will be in their foreheads, and there will be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Brethren, this is just the beginning for the excitement, the peace, and the contentment that will occur for the people of God when we are at one with our God. When those of all the resurrections are united as one, as spirit beings. Can you imagine the happiness that will be there when we will be united for eternity with those that we love? When all the pain and suffering of the past will fade away. The last great day that we are here celebrating has great meaning in the plan of God. It is a day that we should look forward to with excitement. This feast day is a day with many meanings that point to one final event, which will end the existence of mankind as you and I have known it. The spiritual creation is the real creation, brethren. And that is what this day is about. The final creation of the God of this universe for mankind. This day pictures the time when all of those who have chosen God's way will inherit eternal life. This day, this last great day, paints a picture of what will happen in the plan of God for mankind. So, brethren, enjoy the rest of the feast that remains and have a wonderful, great day.